I'm excited. So no children's church this morning because we want the kiddos to sit in here and listen, right, and observe and watch what the Lord has in store. So good morning. Welcome, everyone. Amen. So let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this awesome time. Lord, we stop just a few minutes and thank you. Thank you that we live in America. Live in a free country. We don't have to worry about somebody coming in and kicking our doors down and making us leave. We don't have to worry about bombs and rockets going off in our neighborhoods. Lord, I pray for our president and all the leaders all the way down to our city and local and county governments. Lord, to give them direction, give them wisdom on what to do for our country. We lift them all up to you, Lord. As an American, Father, I ask you, forgive us of our sins. We fall short. Lord, thank you that we do live in this great country. Lord, as always, we lift up our military, men and women around the world doing what they do, protecting our country and our right and our freedoms. Lord, we lift up all the foreign missionaries around the world, spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask for your protection and all these folks. Lord, thank you for these families that are here and friends. In Jesus' name, amen. So this is a deacon ordination. And so we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 6. So I'm going to present a message to you. It's going to be kind of like I'm talking to the deacons. But please understand, I'm talking to everyone, including myself, really. Because this does apply to all of us. And we're going to be in the book of Acts, chapter 6, verse 7. So let's read. It says, "Now in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution." Verse 2, "Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" Verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas." Nicholas, I can say that one. Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. Verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." Everybody said amen?
Amen.
And like I said earlier, we're here this morning gathered together to ordain the following men as deacons: Heath Farmer, David Nunley, and Glenn Lassiter. Amen. First, let's take a look at the word deacon. And the English word deacon is translated from the Greek word diakonos. Say that 3 times. Diakonos, okay? Not really. The Greek word, this Greek word is actually found 29 times in the New Testament. And it's usually either translated minister or servant. But it's actually translated in the New Testament 3 times using the word deacon. It's 1 time in Philippians and 2 times in 1 Timothy. So it's imperative to understand that when God calls people to serve in His church, He looks for those whose hearts are right with Him. Would you agree?
Amen.
Amen. I think it's important that we all understand a little bit about the basic responsibilities of a deacon, especially these 3 men. So now, remember the core definition of deacon. It's a servant. It's a servant. Okay? We all know that God has called all of us to serve. Amen? All of us. So as I'm talking this morning, delivering the word, think about how this may apply to your life, men and women. So there's four expectations of this office. Couldn't get that one out. Four expectations of this office. And we're going to kind of hurry through these four. So if you're taking notes, that's good. If not, you can listen to it later. So here it is. Deacons need to be servants to the faithful. They need to be defenders of the faith. They need to be evangelists who share the faith. And they need to be examples before others as they live life in faith and walking in the Spirit. So these are the four: servants, defenders, evangelists, and examples. So here's my charge to the deacons, and to all the deacons, but specifically these three. The first one is to be the servant. The prototype of this office of deacon is really found in the scriptures that we just read for today. So please note that these men were set aside for the church of Jerusalem to serve tables. So there was a problem going on in the early church. The Hellenistic widows, those folks were Jewish people who were really devout to the Greek culture. They really followed the Greek culture, but they were also Jews. And they found that these ladies were being left out from the temporal needs, the basic needs that we have on earth. They were being left out. And so the apostles wisely called the church together and asked them to pick seven men to focus and serve these people. Amen. And so just like those seven men that were chosen to serve the church of Jerusalem, Glenn and David and Heath are called to be servants of Pauline Baptist Church. You get an amen for that? Amen. Now, a servant is a waiter, an attendant, one who runs errands or does tedious duties concerning the temporal things for the church. It can mean anything from a very small thing to a big thing, like fixing the roof. It could be a big responsibility. It could also be taking the trash out, like Mr. Pete faithfully does, and a very well-educated man, and he's able to humble himself and take the trash out. Or as these other guys, you know, do all the little things that they do, which requires a humble spirit, a servant spirit. And it reminds me of John 13, where Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler and creator of everything, got down on his knees and washed his disciples' feet. Matthew 20, 25-28. Let me read it to you. Jesus says this: "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." This word serve, even when it's talking about Christ, is the same Greek word, diakonos, which means servant. So first, deacons, I charge you to be servants of the church. Number two, the defender. In the book of Acts, we witness the story of Stephen's great defense of the Christian faith, despite his difficult and dangerous and deadly situation he found himself in. And I pray and hope that you deacons would never find yourself in the situation that Stephen was in. But however, gentlemen, Just like Stephen, there will be times both at the church and outside of the church in which you will be put into a situation where you will need to defend the faith. They may require you to stand firm. To stand firm and give an answer. See, there's always those folks who want to lean on the tradition above the truth. When that happens, you will be required to be a defender of the faith. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." And always, everybody say always. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. And then do this with meekness and fear. And that fear means respect. So, I charge you, deacons, to be defenders of the faith. Amen? Number three. The evangelist. The next example of a deacon is found in the book of Acts chapter 8, and it's Philip. Philip was called an evangelist in Acts 21, and he was found following the Lord's leadership. And he was witnessing and sharing about Christ with another person. So, gentlemen and everyone, as a deacon, you must be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You must be open when God presents the opportunity for you to share your faith, to share why you believe and what you believe. So have the heart of an evangelist. I got to read this scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Listen closely. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which also you stand, by which also you are saved, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That's so clear. So, I charge you, deacons, to be evangelists and share your faith. Number four, to be the examples. To be the examples like you already have been. But the qualifications for deacon are laid out in Acts 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. So you guys have been examined by a committee. You've been found to have good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And you've been recommended to be ordained by this church body. And this church body has voted. So gentlemen, you need to realize that you would now be living sort of in a glass house. It should not be that way, but it is. Both you and your wife need to conduct your lives openly and candidly before others. I found it easier to just be me. Just be transparent. Let people see your good side, and let people see your rough side. And then occasionally let people see all your little warts, but not all of them, right? Wives, publicly support your husband. Guard his reputation. Disagree privately. And pray for him daily. So deacons, live your life so that others would want to imitate your Christian walk. Paul said it best. 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So I charge you deacons to be the example of a godly man for others. Now, I have a charge for the church. There's two things. One, a charge concerning your deacons, your new deacons, and the other ones too, the old guys, you know. But Mrs. Jerry's like, hey, I resemble that remark. So, church, here's your charge. Two things. One is pray for them. Charles Spurgeon said his greatest strength came to him because the members of his church were praying for him daily. You should lift up the name of each deacon before the throne of grace every day. They need it. They do things behind the scenes that you really don't know. Number two, support them. Support them. Sometimes unpopular decisions have to be made, and the church needs to be there and support the deacons. And sometimes they may need a little backup. They may need a little backup. When things get busy at work, maybe they get sick and feeling bad. They may go on vacation, or they just may need to rest a little bit here and there. Sometimes they need a backup. Everybody hear me? So I charge this church to remember that it is God Almighty who calls out and supplies His gifts to the church. God has not called these men to this church to be a slave who serves in the relationship of a master. But He has called these men to be a deacon, a servant who serves in the relationship of a humble heart to those in need. So, Glenn, David, Heath, I now charge you before this body of witnesses that you will serve this office well. Amen. I encourage you to be a servant, a defender, an evangelist, and an example. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So now let's prepare for the laying on of hands. And Mr. Jerry is going to be the leader in this process. I'd like to ask the three deacons and all the other deacons to come down, please. Mr. Jerry is going to organize it. So these guys are going to pray for them and lay hands on them. And Amen. The church said amen. If you guys can stand up, if you can. Glenn and David might be struggling with that. Now, can you guys move over here for me, so if you don't mind? Sorry. Thank you. If your wives could come down, Dwana, okay, Emily, Melissa. So the church has an ordination certificate that we would like to present to them now. And I'm going to read it to you. It says, certificate of ordination. This is certified that the deacon, having given evidence of a divine call to the deacon ministry and having attained to the scriptural standards of the Baptist faith and message set by the Southern Baptist Convention and approved by the deacon board and the church body of the Pauline Baptist Church, is hereby given a certificate of ordination to serve the local body and teach the gospel as he may have opportunity and exercise his gifts to serve in the ministry. Given this day, the 16th of February in the year of our Lord, 2020, and signed by each of the deacons and myself.